Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Friends.
Just friends.
Yes, it is time for Jen's Friends. This is the end of the week segment where we look back at all the things that got you texting and calling into the show about. And I get two of my best friends.
Hello.
There he is.
We're such good friends, I didn't even realize I was on air.
Yeah.
I forget that you have a live national radio show.
Yeah, is a mic not a giveaway?
Oh, hello. There it is.
Ed Salmon is here. And Keane Tomy is here too. He's on the line. We'll get him in a second because he was supposed to be in studio, but he couldn't get his handbrake down, apparently. That old excuse.
Well, hey, we've all been there. Don't worry about it.
In classrooms, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I've stalled in the fast lane, if you know what I mean.
No.
Talking about driving.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you are. Sorry, will we tell them what we were talking about off air about Doc Martens? We weren't having a heated debate.
Yeah,
You came in here panting and you sat down in the studio and you did that thing. You know when people sit down, they go, oh. I was like, oh God, what is wrong with you? And you said I had to run from gig to gig.
Yeah, I had to make a 20-minute gig distance in 10 minutes. So I ran in a pair of Doc boots.
Okay.
Now, they're not like, they don't wear them at the Olympics, Jen. They're not running, they're not doing high jumps.
I'm going to say something that's going to divide the nation. Doc Martens are the most uncomfortable boots known to man.
Well, you're only...
Kate, you wear Docs. Would you agree? Yeah. Thank you. But they look good. They look good. But
I haven't worn them in about 20 years. The last time I wore Docs on a regular basis was when I was in school. I'd get a pair of Doc shoes. They would just tear the skin off of my feet till the bone was exposed on my heels. And then they'd be comfortable.
But it takes years for them to get comfortable. Yeah. I think it takes about 15 years for a pair of Docs to get comfortable.
Okay, that's fine. I'll be buried with them.
Yeah. Keane, we have Keane. Keane.
Howdy, partners.
Oh, my God. What happened to you?
I had the worst day ever, Jennifer. God. Well, hello, Edwin. How are you?
Hi, Keane. How are you?
I can't be with... I'm livid. I'm absolutely livid. My e-brake wouldn't work. What's the point of e-brakes? Can someone explain it to me? The more complications, and you think that it would be simpler. But anyway, I got stuck in my driveway this morning at 7:30 and I started getting social anxiety that I was coasting outside and I was going to wake the neighbours up. So I just had to give up.
You gave up?
Wow.
Yeah.
Disappointed. Can I ask you, we're having a heated debate in studio, you're probably better off missing this, about Doc Martens. And
I can't wear them. I've got fallen arches, so like Doc Martens would be very bad for me.
Are you flat-footed? You're one of those flat-footed people.
Yeah, they blow the ankles.
Okay,
Were you trying to get out of the army or something?
Yeah.
We'll never get a sponsor from Doc Martens.
No.
It's not happening. Okay, Keane, well, listen, it's lovely to chat to you. I'm sorry you had all that stress this morning, but it does happen. Like, these things happen, don't they?
Yeah,
They do. They absolutely do. Okay, I want to talk about AI for a sec, because on Wednesday we asked listeners about artificial intelligence. We got a huge reaction to this. Ed.
Yes.
Have you used ChatGPT or any of these yokes? Have you used any of it? Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. I was using it to... I was trying to be creative with it, you know, because it is... And there's a thing that you have to do if you're a comedian is you have to write about yourself in the third person. You have to write a blurb for a show or something like that.
That's right.
And I hate doing that. So I got ChatGPT to do it. And then I sort of toned it down a bit because it was kind of overselling me. I was like, yeah, that's good, but not like the funniest night you will ever have in your lives. That's too much pressure for me doing my show. So I sort of, I tweaked it a little bit. And then I was trying to do, use it for jokes. And I was asking it to write nursery rhymes, but if Tom York from Radiohead had written them. So it was all like, you know, the itsy bitsy spider climbed up the water spout, had an existential crisis and realised the world was broken.
Oh, lovely.
Itsy bitsy spider. You know, it's just like... and I was like, that's too...
find a use.
That's too on the nose. Well, I haven't used that as a thing. But it is...
frightening.
It's frightening in a way because we already have all this deep fake stuff and this is just another kind of layer on top of that.
It is. It is. We had a huge debate on Wednesday. A lot of people saying we need to embrace it because it's here. We're in it. We're in the middle of it. We need to familiarize ourselves. We need to educate ourselves. You know, we need to be friends with the AI.
Marry a robot? Are you mad?
We did that in Sex and Relationship Therapy on Thursday. Yes, it is huge. There's 2 million people around the world that are using AI to get off, basically.
I do that with my wife. I pretend to be a robot. I go, initiate cuddle sequence.
They need to train it up a bit more, though, because, like, I asked it. I was like, do you know who Kean Toomey is? And it is, and it wrote me a bio for my Wikipedia, and I thought that was amazing. But it is still a bit of a gimmick. Like, I want it to, like, bring me up a pint of water when I'm in bed, or, like, walk Richard for me. Richard is my cocker spaniel. I have a dog named Richard.
I was like, going to say, your dad?
They're the types of things that is necessary. Like, I did try and delve into it, and I was like, can you write a script? And it was pretty dreadful.
I tried that as well. It is
pretty dreadful now.
But
it doesn't have human emotion, so it just takes all the information from the internet, whatever, and you know, throws it all together very quickly, scarily quick, you know,
unbelievably quickly.
But I think, you know, because it can draw pictures and it can paint and do all that kind of stuff. So will AI make writing and poetry and art more valuable?
I hope so.
Probably not.
Wow. Differing opinions
said,
there.
Like, there's no emotion there. Like, you need emotion to be writing things. Like, the only thing that it actually should be good for is, like, replacing airport baggage handlers. Like, you will never have a suitcase broken ever again because it's AI, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. That is a good function for it. Tell me about your impressionist friend, Cian.
My what? My impressionist friend? I was like, what are you on about? Oh, sorry. Yeah, right. So AI, my friend Schaefer, he's over in Wales, and he got to do a TV show. He's a voice impressionist, so he does a handful of people really well. And he did Matthew McConaughey, and what they did was they got AI to, like, deep fake Matthew's face onto Schaefer's.
Oh.
And it's like, it's an actual TV show. And they have, it's like a load of A-list celebrities living in a council estate, and they're all neighbours with each other. So I think it's like Nicki Minaj lives next door to Matthew McConaughey.
I've seen an ad for this. I'm pretty sure I've seen an ad for this. It is frightening.
And they've deepfaked them instead of just having an impressionist wear a wig or something.
Right? It looks creepy because your brain forgets that it is AI, and you're like, Matthew wouldn't say that, would he?
But can Matthew McConaughey sue? Like, what's the image rights here?
I was thinking that as well. No, like, Nicki Minaj actually did it, retweeted it, and she's like, what is this? They should destroy AI. So I imagine that they just didn't. I don't know. Like, if I saw myself on a TV show, I'd be like, when did this happen? Where was I?
Yeah. Although it could be a very lazy way to do one more season of Bridget Nathan.
Yeah.
if we don't have to be there.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. That is AI. And okay, so you're both very familiar. You have used it. It's not to the level where we're quaking in our pants.
Yeah,
you know?
I think I use it as a sort of a prompting tool, but I don't think it would replace me. I hope not.
Stop using it.
Okay, I'll stop using it. You're right. I'll throw my ducks in the fire.
Let's talk about the heat that we're not getting. So the heat wave across Europe had listeners ringing in with descriptions of how useless we are in the heat. Worryingly, most of my listeners were in Spain, which doesn't count for a tick in the book in the jail and ours, which I was worried about. They're all living abroad.
So that's my
excuse if we go down in the next book. However, a lot of them were giving us coping mechanisms in the heat, you know, because, you know, in southern Spain and parts of Italy and southern Italy, like, it is insane heat. Ed, what is your worst experience with extreme heat?
I had a very bad experience around 20 years ago. God, everything happened to me 20 years ago. I was in Paris, France. Not Paris, Texas. And it was so hot. It was muggy. It was like there was no real sun. It was just there was no breeze. There was no air.
Would it prompt you to shave your beard, that kind of heat?
You know, I've never done that before. I've trimmed it down somewhat, but I've never, because it wouldn't really make much of a difference. I was a little bit larger back then as well. And I was like, but I was literally like dipping my baseball cap in cold water, putting it on my head. And it would just evaporate in 2 minutes.
Oh, God.
And then I went into the metro, which is like going into a big oven that's cooking a whole lot of French people. And it was after a couple of days, I just refused to leave the house until the sun went down.
Yeah.
And then there was a massive rain.
Don't leave.
Don't leave. Kian, have you experienced that kind of a situation?
Yeah, only once. I think I said this the last time. We went to the Matt Damon premiere, but it was in Vegas. We got off the plane and it was like, you know, when you open up the oven just to check if like the lasagna is crispy enough at the top and you get a burst of heat into the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's exactly what happened to me. And I was out on the Las Vegas Strip and they have these fans that like blow moisture into your face. And I stood there for a good 40 minutes. Saw people, there was people passing out on the strip from heat stroke.
Wow.
And I was pretty proud of myself that little Irish pasty boy here was still standing. Do you know what I mean? So
I'm telling you, lads, we are going to get an influx of people holidaying in Ireland now.
Yeah, getting away from the heat.
Getting away from the heat because we have a
Cast of the cork, guys.
It's going to happen.
Mainland China is going to invade just because it's 53 degrees there.
Yes,
it's going to get away
boiling.
From it.
Okay, keeping with hotness, I want to talk about getting hot and steamy with your first love, because on Tuesday listeners were getting hot under the collar talking about their first loves, and science there's been a survey and a lot of scientific research in this that it does have a lasting effect. Like if you saw your first love, something physiological would happen inside of your body. It's science. I can't remember the details. Ed, take me back to that steamy kiss with your first love. it stopped abruptly or something.
Well, the kissing was great. The kissing was good. The kissing was fine.
Okay.
I had the butterflies. I had all the signals of, oh, this is love. And then she got a cold sore and we couldn't kiss. And we realized we had nothing in common. We never talked because we were just kissing. Our mouths were used for kissing. And I remember going, oh, this isn't love. And then many years later, I found out with my wife, Cara, whom I love. Hello, Cara. But it was, yeah, it was lust, obviously. It was puppy love.
Puppy love.
Which is a real thing.
Yes, it is. But I was married at seven. Like, I married Pori Cormacan in my communion dress in an attic, you know, two doors down. That's puppy love. Your first love apparently happens between the ages of, is it 17 and 20? 17 and 20.
Yeah.
So you're, you know, more or less coming into adulthood and you're...
I would have had a girlfriend around
normal
17,
people,
20.
Basically.
Yeah,
it's normal people, basically. Okay, listen, I want to talk about Monday's topic because we were talking about things that your parents dragged you around to as a kid. Kian, were you dragged to things as a kid, something less scary but more spiritual? Tell me what happened there.
God. My dad was in a church choir and he was like,
God.
He was really good at singing and he decides to utilize his beautiful angelic voice by going to like mass every morning. And like, I wasn't raised religious in a way. It was kind of, we're all free homebirds there. But yeah, I had to go to mass every morning at 7:30 before school. And my dad would be up in the choir, including practice. But in fairness now, shout out to Anne. I hope Anne is still kicking and going, but she was the organ player.
Anne.
She used to leave. This sounds weird, actually. I'm just thinking. She used to let me sit inside the organ and I just kind of chill out with all the horns blaring around me. And now that I think of it, I have a small bit of tinnitus. And I was saying it to Killian yesterday, your producer, and I was like, do I have Anne, the organ player, to blame for my tinnitus? It was a weird experience because, like, you know, when priests, like, die, right? They display the priest for like a week in an open, right? And I don't know, was I like morbidly curious, but I'd spend my entire time just staring into the faces of dead priests.
If you've just tuned in, can I just reiterate, we are talking about the trauma our parents put us through as a child. Trauma in a sense of boring activities they made us go to. I had a story about my dad making me caddy for him, but I think, Kian, you've like pole vaulted over the line there of damaging things.
At least you're outdoors.
Yeah, exactly.
Trapped in
there's
it.
There's so much in that, Kian. I mean, there's, putting you in the organ, which is, not great
there's
for a child.
Yeah, I'm still dealing with it. Like, I'm 29 next Friday, and I'm still dealing with it. So,
and when
advice?
When did you stop looking at dead priests in the face? What age did you stop that?
It was probably from like 5 to 10, I'd say, on average. And then,
very impressionable age.
All was forgiven then, and I haven't been to mass. I don't really. I can't remember the last time I was in a church.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that will put you off. Let's be honest. Like, I mean, you know, unfortunately, I think that would put a lot of kids off.
The minute you walk in, you're like, oh, someone's going to throw me in an organ or make me stare at a dead priest's face.
Yeah, right.
You don't want that.
And that weird smell, that incensey smell throws me right off. I'm brought right back to it.
Okay, lastly, because I need to give Coldplay tickets away, but I need to talk to you guys about trauma of getting tickets, right? Hearts were broken. Taylor Swift, right? Broken, people not getting tickets. Yeah. Have either of you suffered, you know, in a ticket queue in real life or online? Anybody break your heart, Ed?
No, I have always been on, you know, with like six other people. Everyone's trying to get four tickets. And then you're in this constant, you've got like three or four phones going. You're like a drug dealer or something. You're just trying to get, you're trying to score these sweet tickets. And I've never, ever gotten them online. It's always been someone else who's gotten them. I'd almost prefer to queue overnight in a tent because at least that's tangible and you get to the counter and they go sold out or whatever. But I'd love to go to Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's lover was our first dance at her wedding. She's very important to me. Taylor, I care about you, Taylor.
Edwin's a Swifty.
I'm a Swifty.
I gotta say, I'm a Swifty. I do admire her moxie and music, but I don't think there's anyone I'd queue overnight for.
Now. Yeah. Okay, Kim, what about you?
If I can't get tickets, I'll just like try and manipulate like the promoter on Instagram. I'm like, I'm so sad that I missed it. Like my friends Charlotte and Sean, they got Taylor Swift tickets, but I remember Sean specifically, like he was trying so hard to get Daniel O'Donnell tickets. Sean is one of these people, like he has Daniel and Magella action figures, like he's
fully obsessed
with Daniel O'Donnell. Well, yeah, they're probably worth a fortune as well. Like think how rare they'd be.
Amazing.
But yeah, he collects signatures and all that. And then I've got the only thing I can relate to is Emily with her Justin Bieber stuff. Emily's camped out. She's done what you've said, Edwin. She camped. She's done. She's done everything. She's fought people verbally for tickets. And then after all, I remember that. Yeah, we ended up only getting one ticket. And then I ended up blagging my way backstage into Justin Bieber. So it was like it was a win-win in the end.
Sorry, do you know what, Keane? I'm not even listening to what you're saying. I'm just thinking about your weird and wonderful circle of friends. You have that weird and wonderful friend in Wales who does Matthew McConaughey and is making a living out of it.
Yep.
And then you have your friend who collects Daniel and Magella figurines.
Yep.
And then you have your partner who would beat someone to a pulp for a ticket to go see Justin Bieber. Yep.
And you're queuing for a dead priest festival,
right?
Because it's going to sell out.
And then I pretend to be my fiance for a living. Like, it's just a weird life here. You know what I mean?
Oh, we miss seeing your little face. Thanks for making the effort. You could have said, you know, your phone was dead, but hopefully you get your car sorted. Keane, thank you so much. Where can people find you? Let them know. Not that you need any more followers, but go on.
Yeah.
Instagram, TikTok, all the sorts. Mr. Keane Toomey, follow me. I make weird little short videos. You'll have a giggle.
You absolutely will. Hilarious. Thanks, Keane. Talk to you soon. Ed, get out your list because you're useless at selling yourself.
Yeah, I am. Follow me on Instagram. I need followers. Also, I'm doing my solo.
Well, what is your handle? You can't just say
that. Edwin Salmon, EDWINSAMMON on all the socials. I'm doing my solo hour show called Edwin Salmon of Knowledge. It's in Galway, Roisin Dubh, on the 25th of August.
Nice venue.
Collins Cork on the 13th of October. Enniscorthy on the 20th of October. I'm in the Crackden Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night in the Workman's. My voice is going. I'm playing Electric Picnic. I'm going to have to learn who all the acts are so I can drop names around the young people. I'm on the Saturday of Electric Picnic. Come see me do that thing that I do, which is comedy.
Lads, thanks for being my friends. Good morning.